ser ético, isto é uma crença.
É uma religião muito grande.
A visão é um culto.
É coragem, que é liberdade, que é crer, que é vontade, que é o caráter das pessoas.
Calma de quem é grande, maior que os maiores.
É uma paixão com a explicação.
Eu não consigo explicar o que é ser do Benfica. Eu sinto o que é ser do Benfica.
Mas de facto uma paixão. E as paixões são assim, vivem-se assim, intensamente.
Aqui não há nenhuma razão. É paixão, paixão, paixão.
Ser Benfica. Até à morte.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast, episode number 301. We've gotten past the 300 barrier. Here we are with the first episode after 300. 301 with me tonight, Cristiano Oliveira. Cristiano, these are last news.
Okay, what's going on, everybody?
But before we get going, Cristiano, did you know that Benfica's volleyball team has 7 national championships, 17 Portuguese Cup, and 7 Super Cups? Benfica's volleyball team?
Not until this exact moment I did it.
Well, now you know.
Any more trivia with the modalidades?
Maybe a little later we'll have a little bit more trivia, but I just wanted to leave you with that tidbit, the little nugget, just for your knowledge and your understanding. I understand you've been quite vocal on the modalidades.
Leave it up to the American to start up some controversy. I said what I feel, and it's as a huge Benfica supporter, I don't really care much for other sports with the exception of soccer, football. And I said if I was president, I would ban those other sports. And
ban or just close?
Close, ban them, close them. Like, just get rid of them. Ban, same thing.
Ban is kind of like forbidding.
But it's kind of the same thing. If I don't allow it to go on, whether I close it or not, I'm banning it. That's it. It's gone. We're not entertaining this.
So you're like a modalidade Nazi.
No, okay. All right. Then I shouldn't say ban. All right. But I would get rid of them. All right. I would get rid of
you would eradicate all the modalidades.
Hey, I would just concentrate solely on football, on soccer. That's it. That's all.
What about futsal?
On. Now, I will say this, right? Because I could do a little bit better job of explaining myself in English. So those of you that listen to Benfica FM and are not happy about things, and I really wasn't talking much, I'll try to share my thoughts here. Go back 5 years from yesterday's exact date. My opinion of the modalidades were totally different. I wouldn't have even entertained the thought of modalidades. To me, it was a no topic. It was a get rid of them, close up shop. It's a football club. I don't give a crap about anything else. Now, over the last couple of years, as you mentioned it before, we've had the privilege of getting to know Serginho from Conversa Benfica, Nuno Antonio Baqueiro, Flávio from Benfica FM, and a lot of other guys in Portugal that we've had the privilege of hanging out with.
Don't forget Big Felipe.
He's part of a lot of other guys. Big Felipe was a guy who actually played for Benfica handball team, if I'm not mistaken, at some point in his life and his career. These are all tremendous guys. And hanging out with these guys, you kind of get to see what these modalidades, what these other sports, at least Benfica sports for them, mean, what it means to them, right? So I kind of like my opinion of closing up shop and the whole nine, I've kind of like eased up on it a little bit, but I still think, and I still stand by what I said yesterday. If I was president, I'd get rid of most. I'd probably keep 3 sports. I'd keep futsal, fucking patins, and handball. I don't even care about volleyball, you know, like basketball. Come on, my high school team will smack them in basketball. You got pesca. You got campismo. What do they do? Campismo? What are they like? Let's see who starts a fire quicker. Is that the competition? Like,
let's
who climbs
see who pitches
a tree?
Pitches
a tent quick. Who, you know, boils a pot of water. There's just some sports that I'm just like scratching my head over. Now, the reason why I say this is this, man. If the club is losing money with these said sports, that's Benfica lost over 15 million euros last year on modalidades. That's the reason why I say get rid of them. I don't mean to offend anyone. I kind of understand now. I kind of look at it a little bit different, even though I'm still not a fan of it. I get it that the Alcim Patins to Benfiquistas, you know, in Portugal is the New York Rangers. What the New York Rangers is to me here in New Jersey, in you know, the United States. What Benfica basketball is to them, what my New York Knicks is, and so forth. So I kind of like, oh, okay, wow, all right. My opinion of it changed a little. Like, I kind of understood it a little bit better. But when you're losing money with these sports, right? And the club is, rather than really keeping up, because, you know, keeping up with their roster and maintaining players, instead those 15 million, you three of those or two of those 15 mil could have paid Renato Sanchez stayed another year.
Yeah, but they operate on a different budget, on a separate budget.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
The Mundialidad budget is completely different from football budget.
At the end of the day, when they don't have the money to cover whatever their budget is, the club steps in and puts in the money. Where's that money come from? Football. My Portuguese is perfect to just go to the bar and talk shit. You know what I mean? But if you're looking for any type of information out of me in Portuguese, odds are you're better off going to Google Translate.
But Cristina,
I just want to let people know that Alfredo's a huge Mundialidad supporter. He's at every paintballing event. He's at every campismo event, and it's particularly the fishing ones. He loves the fishing.
Competitive
events.
Fishing.
O gajo gosta de ir ao bacalhau.
Mas olha lá, Cristina. You mentioned paintball. Do you know that Benfica's paintball team has 5 national championships and 1 European championship?
They actually have European championships for this.
Yeah.
These people need better hobbies.
Yeah.
They clearly do not have enough to do with their time.
Well, Cristiano, here's a question that I wanted to ask you, right? You obviously, I know you personally. I've gotten to know you this time that we've gotten approached again or gotten close.
We linked up again.
And you are a huge Matrecos player.
Oh, absolutely.
True?
I used to. I was a lot better than I am now. But Matrecos is my... I challenge anyone listening to this podcast.
Let me ask you this, right? If you were a professional or if you had aspirations to become a professional Matrecos player and Benfica had a Matrecos team, wouldn't you want to play for Benfica?
That's irrelevant to my opinion of the club losing money on these said sports.
But yeah, answer the question.
I will look for the best outlet for me to go ahead and show off my skills, and particularly if I'm making money off of it. Yeah, absolutely. But that's on a selfish reason. Yeah, that's for me personally. I'm not running a club. When you're running a club and now I signed with this Benfica Matrecos team, right? I'm playing Matrecos, doing my thing, Matraquiles, whatever you want to call it. Futbolín, Españolito, whatever it is you want to say.
Futbolín.
whatever you want to say, right? So you're paying me 300,000 euros para jogar Matrecos. Por amor de Deus, pai. E a equipa dos Matrecos está a perder dinheiro. É, pá, o Cristiano Fac vai dar uma volta, man. Vamos é a pesca. And then, like, oh, shit, I got to pay him too for that. Isso aqui é o problema. Like, yo, nowadays, agora, but use Berlin. E Marbles.
the little research that I've done on the clubs in Mundialidad, and I'm aware of most of them, but the one I was not aware of was the camping one. That has surprised me to no end. I'd like to please let us know what competitive camping is. Or is it just a group of people that get together and go camping together like Boy Scouts?
They're going for the s'mores.
Because I looked up on YouTube to see if maybe I saw some videos on camping. Nothing on there. But I'm very curious to find out what
I'm telling. It's got to be who lights up a fire.
It's got a guys
who pitches a tent quicker.
Guys that get
who burns the most emails.
Guys that get together and go pitch tents. I don't know. Yeah, Cristiano, you mentioned AEK. Do you know what the second most popular sport is in Greece?
Let me think for a second. Basketball.
Basketball. Yep. Do you know that Benfica's basketball team has won 27 national championships, 22 Portuguese Cups, 14 Super Cups, and 6 League Cups? Can you name one legend of Benfica basketball?
Luizão is probably taller than every player on that team, bro. Luizão and Jardel.
Lisboa, pá. Lisboa. Aprende, caralho.
Who's Lisboa? Lisboa is the capital city, bro.
That's the dude. That's the Benfica basketball legend. Cristiano, did you know? Did you know that Benfica has won championships every time that Salvio has gotten hurt?
Well, I mean, that to me is no news. I mean, the guy gets hurt just like getting out of bed.
But do you think this could be a good omen?
Hey, listen, I love Salvio, and I never want anyone to get injured, but if that is indeed the truth, and look, and it's going to take the sacrifice of Salvio for us to win the campeonato, Salvio, manda abaixo teu prédio, pá. Jump. Do you think these clubs have lost the respect or the fear for Benfica? Or you think it's just that Benfica is not playing well enough and they're leaving the opportunities there for the other teams?
I've been saying that during Rui Vitória's reign. That a lot of teams have lost respect for Benfica because Benfica stopped being that dominating team, that team that smacks you in the mouth, that team that takes advantage of every hole that you give them, or every opportunity that you give them, a team that controls games, a team that puts games on ice. Benfica has not been this type of team under Rui Vitória. So there's a possibility that a lot of these teams don't have the same respect for Benfica's teams because they've watched film. They've gotten the lectures from their coaches. Their coaches have exposed the weak points of Benfica. And a lot of these guys have the confidence that on any given Sunday, they could beat this Benfica team. All they have to do is have a solid game, not make a lot of mistakes, not expose themselves. And there's a good opportunity that Benfica themselves are going to open themselves up and expose themselves and give them a chance. They just have to put it away. So I think, yeah, it's a combination of knowing the capabilities that the limitations that this Benfica team has, and the fact that this Benfica team doesn't really know a certain game.
The other thing that surprised me was the fact that Benfica goes into Tondela, which is, if you know anything about João Félix, that's where he comes from. He played over there with the Pinguim, whatever, the young kids before he went to Porto, then he went to Benfica. But that's where he's originally from. I figured the kid's been balling. He was in the stands on Wednesday against Ajax, which many people still don't even understand why the hell he wasn't even on the bench. But again, he was in the stands. I figured coming home, he's going to play. They get a third red card, a second red card. You think, oh, the kid's definitely coming in, and he throws in Samaris. He still wasn't satisfied. I think he still wasn't comfortable with the 3-1 lead, and he wanted to hold the result. I'm guessing. I mean, because to me, how do you not give the kid an opportunity to play at home?
I think I have an explanation for that. I think that because of the pitch, the way it was, não estava propício para os artistas. It wasn't a good pitch for the ball.
You got to reward your guys. You got to keep your guys happy.
I completely understand. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
João Félix might not say anything, and I did not speak to him about this, so let's not start anything here. But I'm putting myself in his shoes, or it could have been anyone else, right? Could have been Luizão, could have been Jonas, could have been anyone. You're going home. You expect to at least get some minutes, man, and especially when the game is out of reach at that moment. 2 red cards, 3-1. Bring in the kid, man. I was surprised. I was surprised that he did not play. And so to me, that kind of, you know, again,
yeah,
surprise.
Cristiano, you spoke about Zivkovic. Do you know what the second most popular sport is in Serbia?
Basketball.
No.
Stop.
I don't know it either.
It ain't camping.
I just wanted a segue to talk about Benfica's handball team, who has won 7 national championships, 6 Portuguese cups, 6 Super Cups, and 2 League Cups. Benfica handball. There you go. Cristiano, you know what sport is really popular in Argentina?
Yes.
What?
Polo.
Roller hockey.
No, polo. Benfica, polo is the second biggest sport in Argentina.
Benfica's roller... I said popular. I didn't say most.
Well, but
Benfica's roller hockey team, which
Argentina
is
good. Argentina have won World Cups at the roller hockey.
And as a matter of fact, the best... one of the best players in the world...
Nicolia. Same thing.
Who was at Conversas da Benfica. Yes, shout out to Serginho. He's part of this Benfica team. And this Benfica team's got quite a
reputation.
A resume in titles. 23 national championships, 15 Portuguese Cups, 7 Super Cups, 2 Euro Leagues, and 3 Intercontinental titles.
When you're done, you got one more stat, right? Another sport, right? When you're done with that, I'm going to tell you what, to me, what matters most. But go ahead. Just keep...
Hey, I'll throw a quick fact on the Portugal roller hockey team. You go to the Ice Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto, they're the only off-ice member of the Ice Hockey Federation.
That's wow. That's because there's tons of Portuguese. It's probably the guy who built the museum.
Pergunta aí ao Ricardo Solnado se ele sabia desse stat.
The best known chop hockey player ever. He's actually playing in Toronto right now. João Tavares. And his uncle is the greatest lacrosse player of all time, also named João Tavares.
Same name.
Yep. Those guys do love sticks in their hands.
Gosto de agarrar só pau.
Fé no pau. Cristiano, one last one. Benfica's futsal team.
Bye.
7 national championships, 7 Portuguese Cup, 8 Super Cups, 1 League Cup, and 1 UEFA Futsal Cup, which is the equivalent of the Champions League trophy for futsal.
You know what numbers matter to me?
What numbers matter to you?
If I'm not mistaken.
Perceive.
If I'm not mistaken. 6 Campeonatos Nacionais in the last 25 years for Benfica at the football level. That's all I care about. Everything else is irrelevant to me.
Tá bem, pronto. Dave, you got any more stats you want to add?
No, I'm just looking through the Camping Federation website right now. I'll get the stats later on.
Dave, put that up, man. I want to know what kind of competitions go on in that camping. I'm very, very curious. I'm not even joking.
Some people that are suspended 5 years, two years.
And they use gasoline and starting the fire, but tuteiros, yo.
Was it the stake to make the tent wasn't era de metal, não era plastic or
I don't know, but they've got their names, their license, their number, and they're
wow,
5 years, 2 years.
If we had that control in football, Porto would be extinct right now.
Benfica camping, that. Man. That's what I know. I want to know about that. Not just Benfica, but the competitive camping. I want to know what that's about.
They've got their own federation in Portugal.
Pitching a tent.
E pesca, vê quem é que apanhou mais sardinhas.
And Cristiano, a very important addition, a very special addition. Rui Vitória is out.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about because I'm eating cookies. It's the first time we ever opened up a show of me eating cookies. Rui Vitória is out. Well, unconfirmed.
It's not confirmed.
Not confirmed, but all reports coming out. And let's be honest. Let's hold our horses a little bit here because it is CMTV and CMTV. You know, they've been wrong once or twice. But nonetheless, other outlets are reporting Rui Vitória is out. Looks like he will be stepping aside. Whether he was fired or whether he stepped aside, he saw the writing on the wall and that things weren't going according to plan. So we'll see what happens. But, hey, I'm not going to lie. Not going to lie. I'm excited about the prospect of him being out. I'm excited.
There's a couple of things for us to be excited. First of all, esqueceste de dizer olá, senhores.
Tu foste direto ao Rui Vitória e eu. I thought we were going to talk about cookies. But, yeah, olá. Tudo bem, senhores e senhores? In my view, right, I want to know what the hell's wrong with you. I mean, you're looking to become a coach and you go to Wells. I mean, not exactly the soccer powerhouse.
There's an explanation. He's going to explain it.
Good. That's why I asked the question. I asked good questions.
Well, actually, when I came to UK, I had no idea that I want to be a football coach. Back in Portugal, I studied economics. So that's kind of a change. So, yeah, I just decided to start the UEFA courses, actually in the FA, so the English side. And there came the opportunity to go back to the unis to study football coaching and then do the second level and now the UEFA B, so the third level of football coaching. But I had no idea when I moved here. And actually, I'm literally in the border between Wales and England. So.
Oh, okay.
Então tu és bocado assim, Rui Vitória. Estudaste para ginástica e ficaste treinador de futebol. Tu estudaste por economics, vais a treinador de futebol. É igualzinho.
But Antonio, you who have been studying football coaching, and tell us a little bit on what you see from these Vitória teams. What's lacking? What you see as you sit down on a couch and you analyze or you're watching these games and you're seeing some of the obvious things. Explain to us what you're seeing, where there's a lack, when there's some things that are being done well. I think that as a coach, you probably have a good perspective on this.
Well, there is lack of ideas. I think that especially like the... Well, in his first 2 years, when he had the base of JJ and he had some, and you could see that Benfica plays some good football, but it looks like more time he spends with Benfica, less they play. So I'm not really sure what he does in his training sessions. There's a lack of ideas, so we play long way too many times.
Bombo.
So basically, looks like we use a couple of connections, good connections, for example, Grimaldo, Servi, or Pizzi, Jonas, Salvio, Almeida. So there's a couple of connections between two or three players, but there's no more than that. So you really can't see like a global idea how Benfica plays. So a good example of that was a couple of games ago when John started the game, and actually I think it was against Ajax at home, and he served him and put Seferovic on the pitch, and Benfica changed completely the way he plays. So looks like the players, they just play how they feel, how they. So I don't know if you can see like an organization, a game plan. So to be honest, it's hard to explain now how little Benfica.
It's so
play.
Bad that it's hard to explain.
Yeah, it's
não tem way... ponto para onde pegar.
Yeah, definitely, because it's not just the way that Benfica attacks. It's... If you think about Aroca, Tondela, Moreirense, how many chances they had against Benfica? At least five, six each. What it is unbelievable. It's yeah, not acceptable as well. It's like how they can create so many chances against Benfica, especially at home. Yeah, it's really hard to explain, especially in the last... 2-3 months.
So nothing has been confirmed yet, and we'll get into that in a little
it's sad
bit.
Sad to see. I mean, you guys have filhos, o caralho. Sad to see, but you know, at the end of the day, it's about results. And as we've said before, we stayed here on the podcast when Steve was a regular part of the podcast here. Go back to the first season of Rui Vitória in charge at Benfica. We've all criticized him at one point or another, and we've received a lot of criticism. I've received, as you've read, hate emails. That
hate emails.
I'm more of like, you know, anti-Benfica than I am Benfiquista, only because I think I tend to point out the truths and the weaknesses from what I see. I don't need anybody else to tell me what I see. I see with my own eyes. And we've gotten a lot of criticism, yada, yada, yada. And I've said it here on the podcast many times. As long as we keep getting 3 points every week, every game out, I'm not going to complain. I mean, I guess it is what it is. We'll accept it for what it is. But once the results stop coming in, that's when everyone will see what we see. And I guess that time has arrived. It arrived about a month and a half ago, where a lot of people started to change their tune on, you know, you guys just don't like the guy. Just you guys have a personal beef against him. To snap, you know, you guys might be right. And so I'm glad that everyone finally saw the light. It's never too late to see the light. And I'm glad you guys are, you know, able to see it. But right now, it's very difficult to take as a Benfiquista, because there's just been results that we've, you know, put up with over the last couple of seasons that Benfica, this type of Benfica, should have never gone through. It makes no sense to me that, you know, Benfica or, who, you know, Luis Filipe Vieira, whoever the hell is in charge of making these decisions, or finally let him go. Makes no sense. And again, I'm glad that he's gone, but it makes no sense to me that they're okay with letting him go now, when in reality, by my accounts, right, he should never been brought back this summer. I called it last year after the 5-0 against Basilea that this guy does not belong on the Benfica bench. He should never come back. It was the most atrocious performance in the history of European competition by any Portuguese club. Obviously, Benfica being Portuguese, it was just terrible. This guy should never been brought back. We got a second place because Sporting shot themselves in the foot going into Marítimo.
Out of all competitions in December.
Absolutely. This guy should never been brought back. So when you bring him back, you tell him you have confidence in this guy to turn things around and do things. And now a couple of months into the season, you turn around and you fire him. It makes no sense. It just tells me that the people that are in charge, they're also people that have no clue what the hell is going on. They don't have an ability to do their job according to plan, because 2-3 months into the season, they're turning their back on the guy that they stepped up for in the summer and put their name behind. All of a sudden now the guy's not good. It's just the inability of these people that are doing, that are running the club at this point right now, leaves me scratching my head.
Antonio, what's your take on this? Why has Vitória been allowed to stay for such a long time, or really past last season, which was basically atrocious? Do you think that Luis Filipe Vieira had that thing a few years back with Fernando Santos? He fired Fernando Santos in the beginning of the season, kind of felt that he shot himself in the foot, and ever since then he said, I'll never fire a coach mid-season. But what do you think is something that El Rui Vitória, did he buy himself that much credit with Luis Filipe Vieira?
No, I don't think so. I think that the main point is Vieira recognized that he made a mistake last season. So was the lack of investment, a poor management of, for example, the goalkeeper situation, no right back. And I think you recognize that he made a mistake. So I think he gave the opportunity to Vitória to stay, because I think he assumed that in part he was responsible for that.
I just got a text message, a rumor that Benfica and Rui Faria have already agreed to.
That's old news, man. That's 3 hours ago, dude.
I don't know. I just got the text message now. I hope it's I hope it's BS. I don't want it.
There's a fake Twitter account spreading that rumor right now on Twitter. But
no, there's So I'll tell you a little bit about what I've heard. And obviously, bad campaign for Benfica. We locked up the Europa League, which is something that's more.
It's a real shame that Vitória will never be given the chance to coach a match in the Europa League, because, you know, JJ's record in the Europa League compared to Vitória's record in the Europa League. So it's a real shame he won't be given that chance.
Dave, you might have just jinxed it. You might have just jinxed it. No, I think that, you know, from what we hear, Rui Vitória has done, an announcement should come in the morning. We'll see what direction that this directive or Luis Felipe Vieira likes to take. Here's a couple of things, and I'll run by you guys. From what I understand, Bruno Lage is going to take over as the interim coach until either a new coach is appointed, or maybe until the winter window opens up. And Cristiano seems to think that JJ is coming. I don't believe he's coming. Bruno Lage with Luizão and possibly Júlio César as guys that are going to be in there in this technical team. And obviously these guys with the veteranship that they have, especially Luizão, and knowing the ins and outs of Benfica and the mystica of Benfica, would be the proper guy to connect the technical staff to the players. I think he was just a player a couple months ago. Christian, what do you think of that?
I love it.
Antonio, I don't know how much you know of, or you followed Bruno Lage's career, but how do you rate him as a coach, or what are your opinions of him?
To be honest, I'm quite impressed from what I watch Benfica be playing. They play some really good football. So plays that attractive football, short passes, quick 1-2s. His teams look like enjoy to have the ball. So looks like he have an idea of how want the team to play. So hopefully he has the opportunity to prove himself. And I think, to be honest, he could be an option to be a long-term manager, Benfica manager.
So we'll just have to see. No doubt there will be some announcements tomorrow, and the announcement will obviously be followed by the announcing of, you know, with Rui Vitória is, you know, stepping down or being sacked. The following announcement is going to be that Lage is going to take care of this team against Ferenc.
As Antonio mentioned, I think it's a great, great, great point. When you have a change in coaches, it gives everyone a clean slate. Everyone starts, unless you have Messi or Ronaldo, those guys, you know, obviously they're treated differently. But most of the guys will all start from the same starting point. And you have a chance now for a guy like Azivkovic, who a lot of us believed or thought that he should have played a lot more in the Rui Vitória, and he did it. So now he has a chance to impress the coach, and maybe he gets playing time under this coach. You have a chance for a guy like my boy Tarap to start over and put this coach that. But God, I know. I'm saying half jokingly, but at the same time, there's truth in it. These players all have a new start. It's a new beginning.
Tarap couldn't play in Genoa,
but it's
dude.
A new beginning But it's a new beginning for everyone. Understand? This coach, whomever the new coach is, might take a liking to a Tarap, might take a liking to a Carrillo, might take a liking to, and I know Carrillo's alone Al-Ali, but he could come back. I'm just giving an example, and I'm pretty sure Antonio will agree with me. It gives all these players an opportunity to start over.
I agree with that,
Antonio,
period. Don't go any further than that.
I agree with that. Thanks. Some cases, they are lost cases.
Before we get going, I just want to say that I feel awful for the, well, I don't know if awful is the word, but definitely somewhat embarrassed for what we did last week. Not so much for what we did, but what went on, because Everything was said that Rui Vitória was out. Every media outlet was reporting that he was going to be out. Several media report sources were reporting that he was going to be out. And soon enough, we were waiting for an official announcement for the club. And what we get is Luis Felipe Vieira saying that before he went to bed, it was all set that he was going to go. Went to bed at the Seychelles, apparently saw some kind of light during the night. I don't know what it was. In the morning at 7:30, woke up at a change of heart and communicated that to his inner circle, which is probably not that big, but communicated that Rui Vitória was going to stay. Rui Vitória was at the Seychelles, some kind of a meeting. So it was agreed that Rui Vitória was going to stay, meeting with the players. Rui Vitória did say that some things are going to change. The president accused the players, or actually didn't accuse the players, but said that it's to play like Benfica. It's not slow, 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 or lint, lint, lint. We're going to have to play like Benfica. You're going to want to have to be here. Then Vitória echoes his words. And all of this, find it very strange. I think that everybody was taken by surprise. Everybody thought that this was going to be a go and Vitória was going to be out, but here we are. Vitória is back. Vitória continues to be here. And Alex, do you think that this current Benfica team, or even the last year's team, which had a significant less talented roster, do you feel that the Europa League is more of a competition that's at our capacities?
Yeah, I mean, if you had to pick the one that I think Benfica could have a better chance of, because they're not winning the Europa League, it's not happening. But, I mean, could they – although, I don't know if they're going to get through Galatasaray, right? Like, I know obviously that's who they got in the
– Yep.
They just – it's – of the many problems they have, squad depth to me is – I wonder if it's even more important than who's coaching them right now, because – we got, like I said, we got so lucky, and we were selling off, you know, kids, you know, every January and every summer, and we were finding these 20, 19-year-olds from South America, and they were coming over, and we were plugging them in, and, you know, Di Maria, and, you know, Gaetan, and Salvio, and they were, you know, we plugged them right in, and it felt like they just kind of clicked right away, and now it's just not the case. I mean, now we got guys hurt, and we're relying on a 34-year-old striker who's got a bad back and who still has a pretty decent scoring record this year. But for sure, I mean, look at the teams we had, guys, when we made those two Europa League runs, right? When we lost to Sevilla and lost to Chelsea, and man, those teams were good and we still couldn't win the Europa League. Now you look at this group, Rafa's hurt and Salvio's hurt. Funeda is not even playing, and Krovinovic has barely seen any minutes. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they get bounced here in the round of 32 and taking on Galatasaray, which is unfortunate. Yeah. I mean, really, like, to me, the key thing is the league, and I think the good thing now is they at least get a couple of months to not have to worry about Europe, because they have a big game coming up this weekend that I know we're going to talk about. But they really need to get, pardon my French, their shit together. And the league is now the top priority, because if they're going to make the Champions League next year, the only way they're going to do that is if they finish top two. They're not winning the Europa League. There's way too many talented teams in there. Yeah. So that's not going to happen. But, you know, they have been in the group stage, I want to say, the last 9 or 10 seasons in a row. So I don't know what type of or how much of a negative effect that's going to have if they keep Vitória on for the year and they finish maybe third in the league outside of, you know, where they need to be to at least get to a Champions League qualification. What does that do to the new coach coming in? What does that do to some of the young kids they're trying to convince coming over? I don't know how many guys they're going to sign in January or June, but at least for the last decade, we've had that dangling saying, look, I mean, maybe you won't get playing time right away, but if something like Europe, we're guaranteed six group stage games. And now we're facing a real scenario here where, you know, as much debt as this team is, we may not see that money in the Champions League next year. Like, that's a huge concern. they should bring in someone who sees the game in a different way. And this is something you guys have been hammering almost for a full year, because I know there was talks last winter about firing Vittori. They didn't do it. But if they're not going to bring anyone in and increase the quality of the squad, then you need to find a coach that can come in. Maybe he's not as friendly as Vittori is, but if his tactics can just get them playing in a different way, then that's what they're going to need to do. So, you know, whether the Braga game is so interesting, because to me it's a litmus test for so many reasons, but it's really frustrating because you can clearly see this team is lacking new ideas. And, you know, since the news came out that they were going to fire Vittori, and then Vieira had the epiphany, he saw Jesus, who told him, hey, don't do this, you know, you should keep him. Nothing's changed. Like, it's been what, three to four weeks since the news came out that they were going to keep him, and nothing's changed. Everything's been the same. So to me, and again, I know we're going to talk about the Braga game in a bit, if they don't win the game on Sunday, then I think that should be it. But knowing Vieira, maybe he'll just still keep him for the entire year.
I don't wish anything bad. I've never wished anything bad on this Benfica team just because I want a new manager. But it's getting to the time that we need to see something from this team. I know that's been 5 games, 5 wins. We haven't allowed a goal. Yes, that's all fine and dandy. But the same poor quality of football that we have seen all year continues to show itself throughout these pitches. And it wasn't any different when Benfica played the Maritim this weekend in the Madeira Island, a team that, by the way, has not won since August. This is the second team that we have played that hasn't won since August. Who was the other one? Ferenc, Dave?
Ferenc, that's correct.
And that was the one that we had a stellar second half that everybody was so excited about. This is the game following Luis Felipe Vieira seeing that light, and everybody was very excited about the second half that Benfica had, and then everything is the same.
I mean, we went from, you know, Seferovic in August was pretty much gone. I mean, I remember listening to you guys in, you know, some of the preseason shows where it seemed like Vittori had no use for him. They bring in Castillo, they bring in Ferreira, Seferovic is, you know, nowhere to be found, and then all of a sudden he's like starting Champions League games, and he's you know, he's playing half decently, but when Jonas is not around, it is a struggle. And like, this guy's not going to be here for that much longer. He's already talking about the end of his career. He says he would like to end his career at Benfica, but he also kind of hinted that he wouldn't mind going back to Brazil. So, you know, what do they do when he leaves? I mean, between him and Rodrigo and Mitroglou, like, Benfica has been blessed with some really, really good goal scorers the last couple of years. And I think it's unfortunate that all we need from him is 50 minutes a game, but I just don't know how much he's going to hold up. I mean, his back's been giving him problems for a long time. And even after he scored the penalty, like, I know he was taken down in the box. I don't want to say he dove, but he was a little theatrical with the look on his face and the way he went down. It was good that they got the call in the box. But even after he scored, just kind of looking at him, it looked like he was so uncomfortable. And I don't know if it was just from the play or if the back was bothering him. But we're struggling right now, and we're doing that with this guy who's had so much wear and tear on his body. And he made no mistake on penalty. Like, he drew the penalty and he scored the penalty. So again, he kind of bailed Benfica out, but to go and need to time waste at Maritimo, like, my God, what does that tell you?
Finding a silver lining on this Benfica team, the way they've been playing. And obviously the 5 wins, no goals allowed is a silver lining. But do you think there's anyone out there that's feeling positive about the rest of the season for this team?
No. I'd be shocked. I mean, if we had 100 people here and we asked them if they think they can find a silver lining, I bet you'd like two say they would. I think the silver lining was having a managerial change. And unfortunately, everyone got to the point where we thought it was going to happen. And then it got, you know, taken away from everyone. And that it just made things even worse, really.
No.
They're going to have to, you know, the winning streak is great. But I mean, who have they beat, right? I think, you know, you want to convince the fans that you've done the right thing in keeping the coach. Well, you got to beat Braga Sunday, right? No. Like anything less than 3 points, and it's just only going to get worse. And to me, if they don't win that game, then they should fire him.
Happy New Year, Alfredo. Happy New Year to all our fans and listeners out there. What did I miss? Did I miss anything since the New Year started? I don't think I've missed anything.
You missed Rui Vitória's firing. Yeah. That's what you missed.
That's unfortunate.
I don't think anybody missed that, but here we are. I think that today, I think, and I speak for myself, I could breathe a little easier, even though I'm a little nasally. I could breathe a little easier that Benfica has finally parted ways with the Rui Vitória. And, you know, it was, it took a lot, but here's the thing, man. And it's just, I got to question the timing of this whole thing. And things aren't always what we were led to believe, right? So just a couple of weeks ago, when he was questioned, when he lost to Portimonense, or even when he lost to Portimonense, in the press conference after that, he said that he was fine at Benfica, or the presser before Portimonense said he was fine at Benfica, that he wasn't going to relinquish his seat, blah, 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 blah. Gets fired. Today we find out that he's got a contract with the team in Saudi Arabia that's going to pay him boku bucks. And here's the thing. How much of that was already planned out? Because even before he got fired, there was a lot of media talk, especially from the Middle East, saying that Rui Vitória was really by details, that he would be announced shortly. So was it something that the president decided you're going to get fired now? Sorry, you're going to have to step down. Well, the president says that he put his spot. He made his spot available, that he felt he didn't have any more conditions. But, you know, the whole timing of things, and look, I'm not questioning it, and I'm not saying that it was a bad thing, but the whole timing of it, it smells fishy, right? I think this is perhaps Benfica or Luis Filipe Vieira was waiting until an offer came to let go of him, and they didn't want to let him go because the offer wasn't on the table and the club was probably not going to pay money for Rui Vitória, or Luis Filipe Vieira had to pay Vitória money because he was leaving. Now that he's got a new contract, Benfica doesn't have to pay his contract because now he's got a new job. But the whole timing about this, Dave, is fishy.
Yeah, and it goes back to what I said on our previous podcast that we replayed last week. It all comes down to money. So maybe they didn't make the move in November because they didn't have anyone to pick up Rui Vitória's contract. But it is kind of shady business, and I don't want to know what Luis Filipe Vieira, because this is not his first time dealing with the Middle East. He tried doing the same thing with JJ as well. So goes to show you what kind of figures he's dealing with there in the Middle East.
Yeah, so Bruno Lage takes over as an interim coach. At the time, it was announced that this Monday, Benfica was going to officially start looking for a coach as of this Monday. On this Monday, Luis Filipe Vieira makes an appearance on a daily talk show by Christina. If you're not familiar, just think about Oprah or Ellen DeGeneres here in the United States. And he made an appearance. And one of the most curious things that I found and funny things that he said was that people are still going to miss Vitória one of these days.
I don't know about that. Maybe when we're very old and we got grandkids and we can tell them about the time we won the Tetra, and maybe he's a quiz answer where you can say, oh, who was the coach of Benfica when they won their first Tetra? Oh, that was Rui Vitória. What did he do after that? Nothing. So that's I think that's as much as we're going to remember him by, is that he was the coach when we won the Tetra. And from there, he was no tactician or genius on the tactics board.
Lage took over the team. He had been in charge for 3 days. And Benfica took the field against Rio Ave, and right off the bat, the 4-4-2. Lage explained the situation as with so many forwards available, you figure he'd take advantage of having so many forwards available. Hey, makes sense, right? It's so logical, right?
I don't know why it needs a B team coach to come up here to recognize that you've got four or five strikers. But we do have a lot of midfielders as well, so you can use the counter argument for the 4-3-3. But yeah, 4-4-2 just makes sense, and it was as soon as the lineup was announced, I was really looking forward to seeing how this team was going to shape up and play, because I think I've got it here. It was not since October 27, 2017 has since Benfica's played with a 4-4-2 formation, and Jonas and Seferovic were on top on that match last October 27, 2017.
But here we are, a 4-4-2 team that, you know, it's kind of hard to expect a coach with 3 days of coaching a team to have that big of an influence on a team. I think the biggest influence that he had on a team was to change the formation. The other thing was to bring in João Félix into the middle, because, and I don't know if I said this here on the podcast, but it was criminal, the fact that he was being out on a wing. I understand that the guy's getting minutes, he's getting burn time, but I think that wasn't the position where he could be the most productive. And we saw what he could do. He's only 18, 19 years old. For me, man of the match, just the level of intelligence, his movements, his reading of the game. And I think overall, I think that's the attitude by the team. And here's the thing, right? So we're down 2-0 with 20 minutes in. We're down 2-0. Benfica's defense too passive, too allowing. And I think that we have seen this all season long. I also, and I was talking to Cristiano a little bit after the game, he said that was probably the worst game he's seen Vlachodimos play. And I have to agree.
Yeah, I would too.
The ball on that second goal, I thought he could have gotten that ball. Even he could have gotten an attempt on our first goal too, but the second goal, definitely the ball went through the small box, the six, and he did not come out for that ball, and I thought that he didn't do too good of a job. But here's the thing that I wanted to run by you, Dave, and after going down 2-0 with 20 minutes in, there is a clear show of support by the crowd. So despite having what we had against Portimonense, all the poor football that we had played, there's a clear understanding of the crowd, especially the crowd that was at the game, that this is a new day. This is a new Benfica. They trust this team. They trust these players. And I think that the players, aside from having that attitude and a couple different things that they were doing throughout the game, I think that they felt that the crowd believed in them. I think that the fact that they believe in themselves was never in question. But this was a very significant moment for me as I was watching this game.
My checklist here of this game, I got, you know, return to 4-4-2, check. João Félix back in the starting 11, check. He scores 2 goals, check. Ferreira back in action, check. And even Krovinovic got some minutes, so check for him too.
So that's it. Thanks a lot for checking us out. And it's good to be back. And see you again next week. Later.
Ciao.